Believe it or not, you can actually get calcium deposits in the rotator cuff of your shoulder. Who knew?
Who knew?
I'm Dr. Paul Zalzel.
I'm Dr. Brad Wien. Welcome to Talking with Docs. We have a guest today, Dr. Marcus Bischoff. We were all residents together like a zillion years ago. It's so nice that you could join us, Marcus. Thanks for coming.
I have to thank you. Thank you.
Here we go.
25 years ago, we were medical students together, and you said, hey, Paul, we should do orthopedics. It'll be fun. I had another specialty all lined up, and you were right. It was a lot of fun, so thank you.
I'm so sorry, Paul. I know you wanted to become a cardiovascular surgeon. I think you probably would have already been retired by now, so I'm so sorry.
No, you were right. This is fun. I had a good ride.
It's been a great career.
Yeah, we've had fun. We were medical students together. Can you imagine that?
We also share the same birthday.
We do.
I know.
Different year. Same birthday.
Yeah, that's wild. So today we're talking about calcific tendonitis, so inflammation of the tendon with some calcium deposits, and we're talking about this in the shoulder. So let's start at the beginning. What is it, Marcus?
Yeah, it's an entity we know actually relatively little about. We don't fully understand as to why some individuals have it and others don't.
Okay.
I don't want to get too technical about it. It's one of the reasons, or one of the theories as to what happens, is the cells that normally form scar tissue, fibroblasts in the shoulder, get a mutation and become chondrocytes, which is a cartilage type forming cell, and in this process it can develop calcium deposits, and it's most commonly seen in the rotator cuff of the shoulder.
Okay.
We don't understand exactly why that happens, so to be completely honest with you.
You know what I find funny about the whole thing is these same people get osteoporosis, not the same, but in the same age group you can get osteoporosis. Like, I can't put calcium in my bones, but I can put in the soft tissues in my shoulder.
It's in the wrong spot.
Right?
You should take it out of the shoulder into the bones.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Transplant it. That doesn't happen. So, calcific tendonitis. Risk factors for this, same as other shoulder issues, diabetes, thyroid issues, and typically middle age.
Correct. Yeah, this. It happens, and usually we see it in individuals 30, 40, 50 years of age. More common in females than males.
Okay, so
for no reason that we understand.
How do I know I have this?
It usually presents itself very gradually. There's no preceding injury or anything like that. It starts very gradually with pain and subsequent difficulty moving the arm. And again, pain mostly at night. Patients describe difficulty laying on that arm and using the arm.
Sounds a bit like frozen shoulder.
The only difference is that these individuals don't necessarily have inherent stiffness of the shoulder.
Okay.
Now, they may say that they can't use the shoulder because it's so painful to move, but they actually have no limitation in terms of movements of their shoulder.
But it also sounds to me like rotator cuff tendonitis, just kind of garden variety rotator cuff tendonitis. So you got this pain, you got some trouble at night, you go to your doctor, they do a physical exam, and they find the things that you've talked about. Is there any way to distinguish the two? How do you say this one's got rotator cuff tendonitis, this one has calcific tendonitis?
Yeah, you're right. Clinically, it's very difficult to differentiate between the two. So the diagnosis is usually made by getting an x-ray.
Okay.
If you get an x-ray of the shoulder, you can see a calcium deposit in the area of the rotator cuff. And also it can be confirmed by ultrasound as well.
Okay, so normally you see calcium in the bones. You would not see them in the soft tissue. So this is abnormal calcification. It's ectopic. It's not where it's supposed to be. Is it typically more in the muscle or more in the tendon or more at the junction?
It's mostly in the tendon.
Okay.
So the rotator cuff is a group of muscles that come from the shoulder blade. They form a almost continuous tendon that attaches to the ball portion of the shoulder. And
Right. It's
in that tendon portion just before it attaches to the humeral head or the ball portion of the shoulder.
Okay.
Okay, it sounds painful because you're not supposed to have calcium in that supple cuff that's moving around as you move your shoulder. We've talked about what you present with, what the doctor's gonna do to diagnose it, or the healthcare professional. Now, how can I treat this painful entity?
We usually start with anti-inflammatory medications followed by physiotherapy. Those are two good hallmarks to try to keep the motion going in the shoulder, try to build up some strength in the shoulder. The anti-inflammatories help to decrease the swelling or inflammation in that rotator cuff tendon and that space.
Okay, and does that work all the time? Is that successful?
It works sometimes,
okay.
To be completely honest with you. In many cases, these rotator cuff calcific tendonitis take a long time to improve. And so what happens is if they're frustrated, it's not helping with anti-inflammatories or physiotherapy, then we offer additional treatments. One of the treatments is injections.
Okay.
We can sometimes inject cortisone into that area, although there is some controversy whether that actually slows down or minimizes the resorption that occurs of the calcium deposits. So,
so it might help symptomatically, but it might prolong the recovery?
Absolutely correct.
Okay.
Another form of treatment is called shockwave treatment. It's an ultrasound probe done through physiotherapy clinics or other clinics, chiropractic clinics, and it's essentially a similar idea as how they blast kidney stones.
Right,
you may have heard of that. Lithotripsy, exactly.
Yeah.
Similar idea.
Okay.
You can apply it to the area of calcium buildup in the shoulder, and it can blast, these ultrasound waves can hit that calcific deposit and can break it down.
Does that work?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Okay. Sometimes.
I think this is why I became a knee surgeon, because I feel like shoulders are so tricky, right? It's hard to get them better.
It requires numerous treatments, and I have seen quite a bit of success with it, but I would not sit there and say it works every time.
Okay, so we tried cortisone, that's an option, that shockwave therapy we've tried. Any surgical options for
that? There are surgical options. I should just mention one more form of treatment. It's called fine needling. It's usually done under interventional radiology.
Okay.
And the way it works is they use an ultrasound, and it's a diagnostic ultrasound to localize the calcium deposit. Then they inject, they take a long needle right into it, usually with a bit of lidocaine and saline, a bit of freezing, to try to break down that calcium deposit.
I think that's a good point. So how big are these collections? Are we talking about 5 millimeters, like 3 centimeters? Like what is the
size? Actually, that's a good range. It's usually from 5 millimeters. If it's too small, you can't really see it on the x-ray, but let's say at 5 millimeters, sometimes they're 2-3 centimeters.
Okay, so they can be quite big.
They're quite large, yeah.
Okay.
And because they're so large and it's hard, it causes impingement in the shoulder.
Right, it's like having a pebble in your shoulder.
Exactly. So with certain movements, that calcium deposit will rub against the roof of the bone of the shoulder, which we call the acromion, and causes pain.
That seems like that would hurt.
All right, so get this pebble out of here. What's the surgical options here?
The way we treat it surgically is we do an anesthetic. It's day surgery. The patient comes in the morning, goes home the same day. We put them to sleep, and we do it arthroscopically. So we take a small camera, introduce it into the shoulder joint. The first thing we always do is look around the shoulder to see if there's any other pathology that's going on. And then we look at the rotator cuff, both from the bottom and from the top. And usually when we look at it from the top, you can most of the time identify and see the calcium deposits.
Do you have a video?
A video.
All right, let's take a look at it.
So here you can see that you can identify the calcium, and then we take a long needle and literally poke into it. And the idea is to try to break apart some of these calcium deposits. Sometimes this calcium deposit can be quite liquid, almost like a toothpaste type material.
Okay.
So when you poke into it, it can almost come out of it.
Wash
you can
out
see it in
it.
This video. You can see it a little bit better. So we poke into it, and it can sort of come out of the tendon
like you're
a little bit, like you're drilling. So and then we have the surgery's done under fluid irrigation and suction, so we can suck out the calcium deposits that we try to pull out of the tendon.
It's called barbotage. It's a French word, not to be confused with
Barbarella.
No, not to be confused with balayage, which is a way to highlight a woman's hair in a wave-like fashion. I have 3 women in my house.
Or so Bollywood.
Bollywood. There
I'm
you go.
I'm learning so much.
There you go.
Have you ever tried using a woodpecker to do that? All right. So that's a surgical option. How successful is that?
Yeah, do you know what? Let me show you one more video here. This is sometimes when we go in there, we can pull out these deposits. Now, the problem with this is at times when we remove these calcium deposits,
you're making a hole.
We can leave the tendon. You're left with a hole in the tendon itself. And if the hole is big enough, then we end up having to repair that.
At the time.
We do it all at the same time.
Of course.
Yeah, so you are creating a hole in it, but it's important to remove those calcium deposits because they certainly are a source of pain.
You're kind of robbing Peter to pay Paul, which normally I'm okay with. In this case, you want to fix that.
Okay, so post-op, what are these people doing? They're resting for a little bit and then get them into physiotherapy?
It depends a little bit on if we have to do a repair or not. The
right.
post-operative protocol varies quite a bit. So let's assume we did not have to do a repair.
Yep.
We usually keep them in sling for about a week or so at most, just to allow the initial pain to settle down. Then we get them into physiotherapy, get the shoulder moving. We encourage early mobility to prevent a frozen shoulder, prevent stiffening, and try to regain their motion. It takes a bit of time for them to improve.
Okay.
Shoulders don't recover super quickly. It's usually in the time frame about 6 to 8 weeks. Most people are pretty good from after this operation.
Does this come back again? Does it recur? Or
It rarely does, to be honest with you.
And
that's why the surgery is quite successful. Once you've removed those calcium deposits, most of the time people do quite well moving forward.
Hey, if you've had calcific tendonitis or know someone who has, leave a comment. Let us know what they did to treat it. That'll help our other viewers who are watching this or maybe not watching this and just looking at the comments.
There you go.
All right.
Now you know, if you like this video, please like it, subscribe to our channel, share it.
Shout out to Bill and Sandra.
Bill and Sandra, we love you. Keep watching.
Thanks, Bill and Sandra. Thanks for lending us your son-in-law.
Yeah.
And remember, you are in charge of your own health.
We'll see you next time. Thanks for coming, Marcus.
Thanks, guys.